Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here. Thank God for His wonderful grace. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Today we, as I said earlier, we sort of got a bittersweet kind of a mood here for us. Our pastor, of course, went home to be with the Lord. And we had his memorial service on Friday. It was intense. Yes, Sister D. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I've been tossing and turning all night. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Staring at the clock, because of this morning, this will be the first morning, without him. I'll tell you a little story before we start about, back in 2004, I was asked to preach at a church on Appalachian Parkway. They were having some problems. I think their pastor had left. And, so I went and preached maybe two or three times, brother at work. Named Conrad Howard. And so I preached, and afterwards I kind of strolled around the church, and I saw this little paper there. It was a sing paper. Come out and sing. And so at the time, I was preaching wherever the door opened and singing wherever the door opened. I just wanted to minister. Just, Lord, you show me and I'll go. And so I found this little paper, and I read that and asked about it, and come on out. So I went out there in Fort Brief. And I involved myself in the singing celebration that they would have every so often, maybe a month or 2 months. And I called it I always called it a sing thing. And they decided to change the format one time and say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to sing, but we're going to have a couple of the ministers deliver a message. Brother, you may do it, and Brother Leroy, we'd like for you to do it. And I said, well, okay, great. That was in May of 2005, around May 21st. And so this particular message that I've dusted off and, of course, maybe revised it just a little was the message that I delivered. Before that, I had started going to BDF sometime March or April of 2005, and I invited the pastor, Dennis, to come out and hear me sing and hear this message. And he couldn't make it, but he sent Brother Don Johnson. And Brother Don Johnson came and listened to me singing, and he listened to the message and went back to Pastor Dennis and said, we need to have him present that message over here at DDF. So on June 1st, 2005, I delivered this message at Bible Believers Fellowship. And after the message, Pastor Bob walked up to me. Hey, I'm Bob or whatever, I forget now, but I always remember the question, what he said and the question he asked. He said, that was a good message, brother. He said, where did you go to seminary? I said, well, I haven't gone to seminary. You haven't gone? I said, no, just preaching, learning as I go, mistakes along the way. And that's where we started. And I continued to go to BBF, and in February 24th, 2008, I was ordained at Bible Believers Fellowship. And six elders came up and prayed and laid their hands on me, and Pastor Bob was one of them. Got video of that, thinking about maybe putting it on the site, so we'll have that. And then that was February, and sometime in the June or sometime in the summer, I got an invite to lunch of Pastor Bob. And we went out to lunch, and I was like, yeah, you know, people love to eat. So we went to the seafood place, and my wife and maybe Leroy Jr. went, and I don't know if he went or not. And our family and his family were sitting having a good time. And he said, brother, don't worry about it. I'll pay for the meal. I should have known then that something was should have known then that something was up. But you know, I'm not thinking, right? It's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, remember, praise God. You know, I guess he just likes me. But then we got to talking afterwards outside, and he finally revealed his thoughts and plans. He wanted me to think about coming over here to minister alongside him. He said he needs, you know, we'll probably need some help and to think about it. And I said, well, brother, I'll pray about it. And he didn't say that. We parted. He called me later and said, well, brother, have you thought about what I asked you about? I said, well, brother, I'm praying about it. And boy, he lit in on me. He said, brother, you know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. Some things you already know what God tells you to do. I'm like, okay, brother, I'll call you back. Thank you. So I'm like, woo, man. Well, that's the same thing I've said for many years. That's some, the word of God tells you some things that you need to, that you know to do. And so he just threw it right back at me. And I said, well, okay, but I still needed to pray about it for this reason. I needed to hear God say to me, yes, go. He said it to Bob. Bob was right. But I needed to hear it. And you need to hear it. If someone comes to you and says, I got a word for you, brother, don't pack up your stuff and take off because of that word. You say, thank you. And I'm going to talk to God for confirmation on that. So I did get the confirmation, and we came here June 30th. It was on a Sunday, 2008. And I just lost my microphone. And thirsty. I'm nervous. I am nervous. Yes, sir. Do you know what? By him talking to me about coming, he was still not giving up on me. He knew in his heart. He knew a whole lot more than he was telling. He didn't want, he doesn't like sympathy. But he knew then what was going on. And he thought about you guys. And I'm going to stop there because I don't think I can go any further with that part. But I want to go ahead and get into today's message, and you'll see why. It's Father's Day, and this is going to be a Father's Day message. Maybe one of the strangest Father's Day messages you've ever heard. But then you see who's doing the talking. So praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, the only holy name, may your kingdom come in the same way as with Jesus when he through him freed many who were oppressed and effected cures. May your will be done in earth, and especially the earth, Lord, that we are in the same manner as your will is done in heaven. Give us bread, Lord, enough to sustain us today, and forgive us our sins in the same proportion that we forgive others that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation to sin, but deliver, protect, and keep us from the evil one, who wants to destroy us. For yours is the only kingdom, the only power, and the only glory, eternally. Amen. Over the years, we were taught various prayer patterns, like, we thank you for the world so sweet. We thank you for the food we eat. We thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen. Or, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. That prayer brings nightmares because I might die. Think about it. You got a 5 or 6 year old saying, if I should die before I wake. Children say their prayers. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Prayer is prayed, not said. Just like you won't walk up to someone and say, hey, let's say a conversation. Let's have a conversation. This doesn't fit. So when we were younger, we said our prayers. And we were taught to say our prayers. But prayers are to be prayed. They're very personal. It's breath given to the will of God as revealed in His Word and by His Spirit. And this way, we pray in the Spirit. We comprehend what the Word of God says. By the power of the Holy Ghost in us, we give breath to it and we speak it and we pray it. And as we do that, we pray in the Spirit. Our scripture text will come from Matthew 6:9-15. But before we read there, I want to make a few points. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer, but that which lies outside of the will of God. Prayer is not something you say. It is something that you pray. Prayer is not talking at God. It's talking with God. It's communing or communication, which works two ways. You talk to Him, He talks to you. Sometimes we just give Him our list of desires and turn around and go our way, not waiting to hear what He has to say about those desires or what role we should play in what we've prayed. And so it's a communion, a communication that should go on. Jesus gave us this model prayer in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we say Father, we express His nature. 167 times in the Gospels, Jesus calls Him Father. When you say Father, you express His nature. He's not like a father. He is a father. Not mother. Not it. Not the all silent one. But Father. 1 Corinthians 8:6 tells us, but there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him. And 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. Our God is the everlasting Father. When we say Father, we expect His nurture. We expect Him to nurture us as you would nurture and receive the nurture of a parent. Sometimes our children will ask us for something. They think they want it, but we know they don't. They gotta have it, but it's the worst thing in the world they could have. And we become the dirty dog of the house when we don't give them what they want. Until they get our age and have children of their own and say, you know, Mama was right. She had a point. I couldn't eat all those Snickers. I couldn't eat all those cookies. I didn't need all that bubble gum. I didn't need. And that's the kind of parenting and nurturing that a child needs. And that's the kind of parenting and nurturing that we need. Sometimes, and the Bible says, we know not what we should ask for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered. Now, God is the creator of all men. But He is not the Father of all men. There's a difference. He's the creator of all men, but he's not the Father. This is not a universal deity. There is a distinction. John 1:12 tells us, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so it was those that believed that he gave power to become sons of God. Some folks may claim him, but if they don't believe Jesus, he doesn't belong to him. Galatians 3:26 says, we have become children of God by faith in Jesus. That's how God becomes our Father. That's how he becomes our Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:5 and 8 speaks of the chastisement of God. Verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? That is to correct. A good parent will correct a wayward child, especially as they're coming up. When they get grown, you can offer advice, but it's up to them. But when they're coming up and under your care, it's your responsibility. As a matter of fact, a small child, I hear them say, well, let the child develop his own personality. Let him make his choices. He's 3. He can pick what he wants. And he's 4 or 5 or 6. Just let them, don't do that to them. Don't stunt their growth. Just let them have their way. It's the parent's responsibility to make sure that a child obeys his parents. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with thee, that you may live long in the land. The most important responsibility for a child is to live in obedience to their parents, especially small children. Most important, because if they live in obedience, then it'll go well with them and they'll live long in the land. And I've told you before about my siblings who did not live long in the land. But listen, foolishness is in the heart of a child. And that child is not going to choose what you would choose for it. He's not going to choose it because he's foolish. His children just love crazy, you know. But it's in the heart of a child. And so, even though the Bible says children obey your parents, I believe the parents has a very major responsibility to make sure that child obeys for the child's only good. Not only so that he doesn't walk out in a pit of rattlesnakes or fall down a hole somewhere and get hurt or fall in some big body of water and be drowned. And spiritually, there are spiritual connotations to this, that it is so important that the child obeys even as he's coming up. And they say, well, he made his choice and that's how he came up. He's a bad man. She's a bad woman. Well, you're a bad parent if you did not chastise your child. And that doesn't necessarily mean you got to hit them and beat them all the time. You could simply correct them. You could simply change the way that they're going. Say, no, baby, that's not the way, this way. And you have to walk along with them. They can look back and say, no, we're going this way. I got your hand. And so that's us. He chastises us. Correction is a prerequisite to fatherhood. Just as you would tie a young tree to grow a certain kind of a way. If a tree is going a certain kind of way, you want it to go straight or a different direction. You discipline the tree by pulling it where you want, tying it off down here and holding it until it began to grow and strengthen and go in the direction that you want. Eventually, you can take that rope or wire or whatever it is off. But it's necessary. Discipline is necessary for things to go the right way. And so in the same way, God guides his children. If we listen, he guides his children. God knew, Bill, that you were coming this way. He knew that you needed help. He spoke to that man and said, go over there to start a mission. God is in control of this whole thing. And so you came out, he came out, and you met. Bill, you have been blessed by the life of this man and all that he's taught through the years. He's taught for you, and God has spoken to you and us through him in his own special way. Romans 8:15 says, "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That means Papa. Papa God. That means Daddy. That's a personal thing. Well, we've received the spirit of God that allows us to say Daddy. Daddy God. Papa God. Here we say Daddy. Over in the Middle East, they say Abba. It's the same thing. Daddy God. Papa. Abba God. These are terms of endearment. It's the term that speaks of a relaxed relationship. When we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we exalt his name. We lift his name above all names. Jesus said to the Father in John 17:6, "I have manifested thy name," he said. Isaiah 9:6 tells us his name is wonderful. Philippians 2:9, God has given Jesus Christ a name which is above every name. when you pray in the name of Jesus, and you know we've been taught this for years and years and years, we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:13, he said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He continually points to the Father. He continually gives the glory to the Father. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." This particular verse is the key to answered prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." 1 John 5:14-15, it says, "And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Get this. "According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." You got to remember this. It is according to his will. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God's government, the kingdom of our Father God. And we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray, "Thy will be done." And how do you know his will? It's so important for us in receiving what he has for us. How do we know his will? We first must surrender totally to him. That's a big surrender. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of need to surrender. But that's number one. Not commit ourselves to him. Because when you commit something, you can take it back. You still kind of got a hold of that. But when you surrender, you're waving the white flag. You're taking your weapons off and you're throwing them down at his feet. And you're saying, "I give up. No more war. You win. You're Lord. You're God. And I belong to you." You commit control. We have to surrender all to him. To know his will, you must know his word. There must be something in there that he can intelligently communicate to you through. If you are going to go by your own natural abilities and your own natural learning, you will be way off course. It is necessary to become intimately acquainted with God's word. Not to say that you need to uncover any deep secrets or anything like that, because you will not get anything from his word that he will not give you. You cannot take anything from him. You have to accept and receive from him. And we were talking the other day about reading something 100 times and certain things we don't see and come back in the 101st time. We say, "Now, when did he put that in there?" Well, the words have been there all the time, but he didn't reveal it because it wasn't time, or because we weren't in a place where we could even receive it or hear it or understand it. And so we read it 100 then on the 101st time, something just pops up. It's like, wow. And all of a sudden, we want to go evangelize the world with that new revelation. Man, you know what? The Word of God says I saw it. And they go, oh, yeah, we've been reading that for 20 years. He reveals it to us. We must know His Word. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. This is how we receive our prayers answered. Abide in Him, but allow His Word to abide in us. You must read the Word of God. But not only must you read it, you must live it. It's real when you start walking. It will take you places that nowhere in the world you'd ever go except for the Word and the influence of the Word of God and His Spirit. Ain't nowhere in the world I'm going back in that prison. I've been trying to get out of that place for 20 years. And you mess around and get saved and start reading the Word, and God said, I want you to go back, but I want you to carry my Word back in. Couldn't wait to get out. Couldn't go. And now here we go, and you can't stop me from going. Don't get in my way from going. I'm talking about you back there on the back. Try to stop me. Don't get in His way. He's the nicest, sweetest man, but you might have a problem if you get in His way. Because God has placed it in His heart to go back and lift others up. Amen? You must read this Word. To know His will, we need the Spirit's involvement. We need the Holy Ghost. We need it. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps our infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought. 27 says that He, that is the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so what a wonderful relationship we have to have the Holy Spirit of God, whom Jesus sent back as a comforter, as an instructor, as a teacher, one that was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And here's another point. The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. It's amazing, some of the prayer requests. My auntie has a broken knee. Well, we wanted her to get better. What kind of prayer would you want to pray for? Well, my mom has been having headaches. Well, we want mom to get better. What kind of prayer you want? Well, I want to pray that my brother will come around and visit us more. Well, what about the will of God? Rarely do we hear that my mother might be saved. That my auntie, though she has a broken leg, a broken, busted knee, that she might be saved. Or that my sister who just got saved will learn more of the Word. See? Because this is what's important to God. Not that healing is not important, because Jesus healed many. But in our prayers, our requests need to be more in line with His Word. Then it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, forgiveness is quite a challenge for everybody. Once you get hurt, once somebody stings you, it's a challenge. Matthew Henry, his commentary, he eloquently addressed this point. He said, as we forgive our debtors, this is not a plea of merit, but a plea of grace. Our duty is to forgive our debtors. We must forbear, continue on, or push forward and forgive and forget the affront put upon us and the wrongs done us. And this is a moral qualification for pardon and peace. It encourages to hope that God will forgive us. It will be an evidence to us that He has forgiven us, having wrought in us the actual condition of forgiveness. In other words, if you've received the forgiveness of God, forgiveness is something that should flow out of you. Because you've received it. It should flow out of you. Not forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness that saves you from sin and you become saved in the kingdom. It's a forgiveness that will cleanse your soul, that cleanses you from any kind of offense or anything towards God. it's almost like God will not release your conscience from this particular act or thing that you've done until you have forgiven yourself. And so, in other words, we're holding ourselves hostage when we don't walk or live in forgiveness. We say, well, God needs to help me. You need to forgive. Find out from him why this is happening. Why am I having these problems? Why do I feel this way? And I tell you, he will show you. He will show you. Sometimes he shows us and we push it out of our mind so fast. And we keep asking for some other direction. Give me another revelation because it can't be that. But it's that. God says what you ask, you get. If he says, you know, which of you was having a son if he asked for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? Or an egg, would he give him a serpent or a fish? He said, your heavenly father will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Ghost. And then it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Psalm 23:3 says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Well, in order to be led, you've got to be a follower. You must follow his direction. There are so many things that can get your attention on this road, that can distract you off to this way or off to that way. We must be followers. There's only one righteous, only one, and his name is what? Jesus. Father, lead us then to Jesus in our every experience, whether they be good experience or whether they be not so good or bad experiences. But deliver us from evil or from the evil one. We know him as Satan, but also deliver us from our old self, the natural man, who is very evil and doesn't want anything to do with the true God. So you need deliverance from you as well as Satan. Go ahead and say amen. Okay. Y'all looking at me, I guess maybe it's starting something, but you know, my enemy is closer to me than the devil. And it goes on and says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In other words, yours, Father, is the only worthy kingdom. And yours is the greatest power. And yours is the glory. Amen. That's the model prayer. God's amen is a grant. It shall be so. Our amen is only a summary desire. Amen, O Lord. We prayed it. Amen. Let it be so, O Lord. It is a token of our desire and assurance to be heard that we say, amen. Now, before we dismiss, I want to share a final thought with you and then pray. Matthew 5:43-48 says, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. And it goes on to verse 48. We are God's children when we have the spirit of our Father. Happy Father's Day, Lord. We are not if we have the spirit of the world. It's a strong distinction. Our Father above sends blessings, the rain, the sunshine, on the just and the unjust alike. He loves all men, even he sent his son to a wicked world, because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. And so the Father sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Because God causes his rain to fall on the fields of the just and the unjust, when I say rain and fields, I'm talking about your life, the blessings and the benefits of living in this world, when I say rains and fields. Because he causes it to fall on the just and the unjust, and causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust alike, that is mankind, the natural man, is thankful to God. He's thankful to God. He expresses his thanks, and many of the natural, those living in the natural, will acknowledge the provisional favor of God. That's how you can see people that don't even know Christ talk about God and say, God has been good to me. Thank God for this. Thank God for doing that. We hear them talk about God's actions in their lives, and they claim acquaintanceship with him. They call the carnal general provision a blessing from God. And it is to a natural man. It is a blessing of sorts, but it's a these are natural blessings. And we all receive these same blessings. But it's not the same kind of blessings that are enjoyed by his children, which are spiritual blessings. We're in a place that others aren't. But we can hear them talk about God. We see movie stars. We see popular athletes. We see music professionals and even regular people wearing a gold chain or gold jewelry on their person. And some of them even speak of God. And they talk about God. And they lift him up. But the God that they are talking about is the one that causes his rain to fall on all mankind. There's a distinction here. God is the creator of all men, but he is not the father of all men. But now take closer notice next time. Rarely will you hear most or any of them speak the name of Jesus when they talk about God. Those that do testify to the fatherhood of God in their lives. And those that don't, can't. They can't. You get a famous person that stands in the media in the front of the cameras and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He didn't have to do that. And then most of them know not to put the name of Jesus in there because they know that the spears are out and that the knives are out. But when you see one that stand up and claim the name of Jesus, you can say, that's my brother there. What else would cause a man to stand up and put himself in that position but having a personal relationship with our Lord, whose Father is God? But anyway, I just want to just drop that in on you because that's a matter that I've been really struggling with for many, many months. And I've heard the arguments and things, and I say, what is that, Lord? Please help me understand that. And so he kind of clarified some of it for me. Now we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer, expanded. So bow your head. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, may your kingdom appear just as it did when Jesus ministered while on the earth. And may your will be done, as Jesus said, by knowing thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Sufficiently sustain us with Jesus, your heavenly bread, and forgive us our wrongdoing in the same proportion that we forgive others who have done wrong to us. And lead us away from spiritually unproductive trials and tests. But protect us from Satan, the evil one, and his devices. For yours, Father, is the only kingdom. Yours is the only power. And to you, Lord, be all the glory, eternally, in Jesus' name. Amen.